Now for the prayer of the day. Holy One, you made us for yourself.
Help us to see ourselves with your delighted eyes. Help us to find your loving presence within us. Grow in us so that we may be your loving community in service to the world you made and love. Through your grace, we are holy, wonderful, and blessed. We give you thanks in the spirit of Jesus. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and then there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from each other." God made the dome and separated the waters under the dome from the waters above the dome. And it happened in this way, in that way. God named the dome sky. There was evening and there was morning, the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the sky come together into one place so that the dry land can appear." And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth. And he named the gathered waters seas. God saw how good it was. God said, "Let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds and fruit trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind throughout the earth." And that's what happened. The earth produced plant life, plants yielding seeds, each according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. There was evening, and then there was morning, the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will mark events, sacred seasons, days, and years. They will be the lights in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth." And that's what happened. God made the stars and two great lights, the larger light to rule over the day and the smaller light to rule over the night. God put them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. There was evening, and then there was morning, the fourth day. God said, "Let the waters swarm with living things, and let birds fly above the earth up in the dome of the sky." God created the great sea animals and all the tiny living things that swarm in the seas, each according to its kind, and all the winged birds, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. Then God blessed them. "Be fertile, and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. And let the birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female. God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruit produce the seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything he made. It was supremely good. Then there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of life.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order, respond to my encouragement, be in harmony with each other, and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Say hello to each other with a holy kiss. All of God's people say hello to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If you look on the front of your bulletins, you will see where it says, Identity, Chaos to Identity. Throughout the year in the Sunday school class, we talked about the Beatitudes, and we talked about the different parts of the UMC social principles. We came to the conclusion that today we were going to talk about where we'd come from and where we were going. We've come from the church as a nurturing community, and we don't really know where we're going. I counted. I've been to 6 churches in my life, so 6 different nurturing communities since I was born. The first church I attended was called Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., and I don't remember anything about it. The first church I remember attending was called Boyd's Presbyterian. It was a small church in rural Maryland, and it didn't really have a huge impact on my personal spirituality, but I do fondly remember the vacation Bible school songs and our lively preacher, Pastor Edney. The first time I can remember needing a church was when I moved to England. I needed the church as a grounding point for my very hectic life. It was the first time I had changed schools, the first time I had moved house, and it was an entirely different continent. Despite all of the many changes, church on Sunday mornings remained a constant for me amid the stress of finding friends, understanding my teacher's weird accents, and learning entirely new units of measurement. Our 700-year-old Anglican church in the center of town held services focused entirely on children, making my first personal religious experience very accessible to me and my 7-year-old brain. From England, we moved to Texas, which was my first and only experience with the big churches typical of the Bible Belt. It was also my first experience with church outreach. The form of outreach that I still remember to this day and that had a huge impact on me at the time was a program they held there called Weekend Food. Weekend Food was basically church members would go to the church for a day during the week and they would order food, Kraft macaroni and cheese, those like microwave servings, and then granola bars, microwave oatmeal. They would order them in bulk and bring them to one of the rooms in the church. And then church members would come in groups of 2 or 3 and come and put one of each of the different types of food into a bag. Those bags, called weekend food, were distributed around the school district every Friday to kids who received free and reduced lunches to make sure that they had food to eat over the weekend. I didn't really get that. I didn't really have a concept of poverty at the time, especially not poverty that wasn't far off in a distant land. It was actually very near to me until I realized that my best friend at school received weekend food. She and her twin sister lived in a trailer park, and every Friday they would line up with all the other kids who needed it to get a bag of weekend food to take home with them to make sure that they had enough food for her and her sister and her mother and her grandmother to eat over the weekend. This is the first time I was aware that by being part of the church, I was contributing to something larger than myself, and that the church was an excellent vehicle for me to do so. This showed me how important the church is as a nurturing community for the whole world. Skipping ahead a few years, it wasn't until I attended Holy Trinity Bukit Bintang, an Anglican church started by British missionaries on the roof of a mall in downtown Kuala Lumpur, that the church became a nurturing community for me. While living in Malaysia, I developed a tic disorder and an eating disorder. This sudden decline in my mental and physical health made me realize that I needed much more than my own intellect to solve my problems. This had worked throughout middle school when peer pressure and a ruthless desire to thrive on pure logic caused a lapse in my faith and a deep aversion to all things religious. Confirmation at St. Matthew's during my freshman year helped me realize that the church, in fact, seeks to ask questions rather than answer them, and this did resolve some of my discomfort. But it wasn't until I felt the need for help beyond what I could rationalize on my own that I truly opened up to God. There was something very methodical about the routine of praise and worship music, which I often had trouble focusing on because of the anxiety caused by the loud noises. Week after week of sitting or standing during the service while others sang around me helped me come around to the idea of prayer, because when you're sitting and not singing, what else are you going to do? I realized that prayer doesn't have to be anything more than meditation, with a focus on anything in your life that needs more love. Praying through meditation, a practice that I eventually took outside of the services, allowed me to calm my anxiety enough to see the best way to help myself and others. This was how the church became a nurturing community for me. Since being back at St. Matthew's at the beginning of 11th grade, I've taken to the reading the Bible during my prayer meditation as guidance. It really is helpful. You should try it. Today's gospel reading ended at Matthew 28:20. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus says this to the disciples on a mountain in Galilee after the resurrection. He is reassuring them that his love will be with them as they spread the word of God. Since I came back from Malaysia, I have recovered from my eating disorder and learned how to manage my tic disorder. I could not have accomplished either of those things without scripture to remind me that love will be with me wherever I travel. The Bible shaped who I am through its messages like this that permitted me to trust in God's love when I couldn't trust in anything else. I've been to many churches throughout my life, and they've all impacted who I've been and who I've become. First United Methodist Church in Texas inspired me to become a global citizen and to care for the world. Many of you are aware that I'm a very active member of the LGBTQ community and a vocal feminist, and both of these are because of my realization of our mission to the world as demonstrated to me by Weekend Food in fifth grade. Over just this school year, I have changed friend groups several times and connected with many different people, and I know I wouldn't have found the friends that I have now if the reliable, loving presence of HTBB in Malaysia hadn't helped me heal from my illnesses and led me to value love as deeply as I do today. I would not be standing in front of you here today if St. Matthew's hadn't taught me the importance of the Bible and the church itself in cultivating God's love, both within ourselves and within the world. The questions we started with were, where have we come from and where are we going? How has the church been a nurturing community, and how has that shaped where we're headed? I have come from a lot of different places, and they have all shown me the many different ways in which the church has been a nurturing community. I can only hope that I am headed to help cultivate that spirit of growth in other places.
Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all your beloved children, and especially today, for Ben and Alden and Sinon and Maggie. How dearly you love them. How faithfully you have walked with them every step of their journey. And now, as we celebrate their graduations and prepare to send them off to college, we ask your blessing for their many gifts, for the ways that your Spirit stirs in them with love and beauty and strength. We give you thanks, and we ask that you will continue to guide them, strengthen them, hold them in your grace. And we ask that your Spirit move and breathe and live strongly in them, that they will continue as they have to shine with your light, to walk in your ways, to radiate your love, to bring healing and hope to this world. God, for these, your beloved, we give you thanks. We ask your blessing, and we trust your grace. Amen.
As we thank our teachers and ask God's blessing on each of them and give thanks for their gifts, I want to remind you that you are teachers. Every moment of your life, someone is seeing you and learning from you. So as we thank these teachers, remember that you are among them. God bless you all and thank you. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for these and so many who have given their service and their love and their wisdom. Help us all to listen for your word, to follow in your ways, to share your light, to remember that we are all teachers of the word, ministers of the gospel, by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Thank you all.
The youth group and the teachers who have done that really wanted to hear some reflection from our graduating seniors, looking back and looking forward, some wisdom from our elders.
Hi, everyone. My name's Alden, in case you didn't know. So what has St. Matthew's meant to me? To start off, about 10 years ago, St. Matthew's became the new church home for my family and for myself. We had just come from a church where we didn't feel particularly at home. My sister and I hadn't had many friends. My father didn't have a great choir he could sing in, and my mother wasn't feeling enriched. When we came to St. Matthew's, the community here is abundant. There's a great Sunday school program and youth group where my sister and I could make great friends. The choir is fantastic, and my dad absolutely loved singing with them. My mother enjoyed the community and was happy to be in a church where she listened to a friend preach every Sunday, and she could hear someone whose theology was better aligned with hers. How was St. Matthew so influential in my life, though? What made my experience so special? Well, it was a wonderful place to grow and shaped me into the man I am today. Sunday evenings in youth group with Herb and Sarah Taylor taught me the importance of being socially active and talking about serious issues affecting the world, but also the importance of goofing off and having a good time. Hearing Bob Moore and later Steve Garness Holmes, Stevie GH as we once attempted to casually call him, preach showed me how to look at the world around me and what being a Christian meant in that world. They preached about love and compassion, about giving all that you have for what's right, and not being afraid to go to the edges of society and welcome those on the fringes into the dialogue. These lessons were reinforced when I went through the process of confirmation. Each week we would sit down in a circle with Pastor Steve and talk about the significance of a particular Bible passage, what it meant to be a Methodist, or what the overall Christian message was to us. I couldn't have asked for a better confirmation experience. Meetings with my sponsor provided an additional place for intellectual dialogue on the big messages of the Bible. What specific message a small verse had, or what being Christian meant to either one of us. Many of the lessons that I learned in both class sessions and in meetings with my sponsor helped shape my view of Christianity and show me a way towards finding what particular interpretation of our faith would be. And I will remember and cherish those lessons as long as I can remember. Most importantly, St. Matthew's really feels like home. It is a place where I felt welcomed and I felt supported. Everyone showed an interest in whatever it was I might be up to and wanted to know how I was. And I knew that no matter who I decided to be, I would always have a home at St. Matthew's where I was loved. This, I think, is one of the biggest factors that makes it such a great church community for many, and why it is a community that I will always think of, no matter where I find myself in life. Thank you.
Good morning, or yeah, still morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Ben Kendrick. I've been going to this church for almost 18 years now, and I'm a terrible public speaker. So I'm going to start with just some of my favorite memories from over the years. Through my time at St. Matthew's, I've been here for 4 or 5 different pastors. I've seen the music program become the amazing group that it is today. I was here when Herb and Sarah Taylor started coming here and started the youth group and enjoyed every minute of their 8 years of service here, including the games of sardines we'd play late night after youth group. I was here when Don Wheeler, an amazing mentor to me as a young child, got called upstairs to be with the Lord. I was here when Mr. Coleman would get up on Memorial Day and Veterans Day to remind us of the sacrifices everyone around us makes. I missed just 2 of the Christmas Eve services. I probably interrupted a lot of sermons crying when I was a toddler. And I was here for the potlucks and coffee houses, usually hosted by Dave Potts and the Bennetts. I probably played over 100 games of air hockey after church with the Logues and others while we waited for our parents to finish talking. For a couple of years, I played in the Children's Bells Choir. They got a lot better when I quit. Which were led by the ever-so-talented Sue Lee. And who could forget the amazing cooking and grilling from the beloved Gary Lawton, who always somehow made it taste better. I remember the VBS... I remember the 30-hour famine and eating way too fast at the potluck the next day. The mission trip to Puerto Rico I made and meeting some amazing people. I remember when Mr. Gordon Witten would come to my baseball games, despite how incredibly boring those always were. And I remember Derek Costa lifting me onto his shoulders when Pastor Tony was here from England for a couple months with his wife and 2 boys. Sometimes it's easier to wake up on Sunday morning and stay in bed. I'm guilty of it almost every other week. Especially as a teenager after a long week of school or work. Sometimes we need to sleep. We go to church to learn about why we're here and how we can spread the great news of Christ. We are a community who support one another in times of trouble and mourning. When I got out of church as a young adult, it was all based on my mindset. If you go into church wanting to learn more about God and wanting to strengthen your faith, it will happen. I encourage everyone to have that mindset. It doesn't matter if or how much you go to church, or if or how much you give to the offering, or how many Sundays a year you actually went. What matters is the hot meal that you cooked and drove over to someone's house, or the people you visited in the hospital. What matters is the long conversation you have with your non-believer friend, just trying to get them closer to God. What matters is the hug you give to Carolyn Raposo every week, because it's impossible not to give her a hug. Sometimes when I was younger and was waiting for my parents to leave, I would think to myself, how could they still be talking? Are they going to talk to everyone in this church? The answer was yes. And as I grew up, I began to understand why. Everyone here is so caring and open to everyone's ideas. And each and every one of you had an incredible impact on my life. Whether you know it or not, we're all here for a purpose. Though they all differ for every person They all share a common goal, which is to lend a helping hand to your neighbor and to spread the word of God to those who need it. One thing that gets me every time I see one of my friend's churches in Acton, above the door says, as you're leaving, you're now entering your mission field. It's a powerful statement and a great reminder of why we come to worship and why we shouldn't be afraid to share our beliefs while respecting others. So next time you go to a potluck for the free and delicious food, make sure to sit down next to someone, whether you know them or not. No, that's the wrong thing. And strike a conversation. You never know how that conversation could change their and your life for the better. We've lost a lot of amazing souls over the years, and very recently. But as we keep fulfilling God's will, they will keep sitting up there smiling down at us. St. Matthew's has molded me into who I am today, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Thank you.
They are amazing young men, but you were a part of that. Thank God. Let's sing.
Youth group is going to lead us in a song about going forth. Come on up, kids. Do that first. More copies for people who need them. You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in space.